I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I love spicy food, but sometimes when it gets too spicy, things start to feel a little bit scary.
There's definitely a line you can cross where tasty becomes painful.
And that's one of the reasons why the headline we're looking into today has continued to play on my mind as a spice lover. What happened was, after participating in something called the One Chip Challenge, a teenager actually, he died. It was this social media challenge that called for people to eat a chip covered in Carolina Reaper and Naga Viper pepper flakes. So both of those peppers are about a million units on the Scoville scale, which measures the pungency of spicy foods.
So he suffered from a condition that gave him an enlarged heart. Anyway, so he had a pre-existing condition, according to reports. And so his reaction to the chip is likely just a rare complication. However, it does add to concerns about some of these social media challenges.
It also made us wonder how dangerous spice really is. So we reached out to Dr. Paul Terry, a professor of epidemiology at the University of Tennessee. He wrote about the One Chip Challenge case in a publication called The Conversation.
And that is Lauren Berry, one of our producers. I'm your host, Mike Rogers, and this is Something Offbeat.
Your first reaction when you heard about this death, that actual death linked to someone eating a chip as part of this challenge?
Well, I have two kids, so my first reaction was obviously concern. I was wondering how it happened, first of all. At that time, the authorities hadn't reached any firm conclusions regarding the cause of death, so I didn't listen to any speculation. I wondered whether there was some type of allergic reaction, perhaps that was independent of the heat level, such as with a peanut allergy, or whether the boy's windpipe swelled up and closed. I thought of the latter because I once got a piece of habanero pepper down my windpipe and I couldn't breathe for about 30 seconds. So I wondered if, you know, he didn't have some sort of a reaction from inhaling it. You know, I had no idea. But again, the investigation into the child's death was ongoing and I didn't have any other information. I've since learned, and only third hand, the child had a heart defect that may have been part of the etiology of his death.
You kind of answered my next question. I mean, is it possible that eating spicy food can cause cardiac arrest? I certainly, if you've got some kind of pre-existing condition or if there's an allergy involved, I guess, yes, right?
Right. Anything in theory could cause cardiac arrest in someone who's prone to it. Exercise, winning the lottery, anything. However, in a young person, it's very rare, but it does happen on the football, you know, the soccer field, the football field, the basketball court. You know, as far as young people go, that's really, really pretty much it. Is an allergic reaction or a pre-existing condition like a heart problem. In elderly people, there's research that suggests that eating spicy food can increase your overall blood pressure, which of course is not good. But then there's research that suggests that that's the opposite. You know, it lowers your blood pressure. Both physically and emotionally, people will vary with how they react to spicy food challenge. Extreme heat can elicit a physical reaction, but also an emotional one.
I looked into it a little bit and I found that, like Dr. Terry, McGill University noted that there is a psychological element to liking spice. The university cited studies that conducted on the subject and said that the difference is actually enjoying the pain.
Well, it's like I said earlier, there's a line you can cross. Although, that said, I would much rather endure some spiciness as opposed to eating something that's too bland. My wife is from Minnesota. The first time I went up there, I was like, y'all use mayonnaise in every dish? I made him a big pot of jambalaya up there and it nearly killed him.
That is too funny. They do use a lot of mayo here in the Midwest. But it actually seems like most people are like you. They love the burn. And here's some evidence. Reader's Digest found this year that burrito bowls are actually the country's favorite food. And there's usually some spicy salsa involved in those. Also, Prepared Foods, another publication, recently cited a 2021 Instacart survey that found that 74% of its shoppers ate hot sauce with every meal. So is it like that in your house?
I don't know about every meal. So I don't think I'd put some Cholula on a piece of angel food cake. But we do have a pretty good assortment of hot sauces. We've got some fresh peppers in the fridge. And we grow a few in the backyard, too.
Well, I love that. That must be delicious.
Big old fat jalapeno peppers hanging off the bush.
Oh, I love it. So there are also physical factors that play a part in spice tolerance. Though it's rare, people can have allergies to capsaicin that's found in peppers and many spices that are added to spicy foods and sauces. Even though wasabi, which you might know from sushi restaurants, and horseradish are spicy roots rather than peppers, people can have allergies to those too.
You mentioned capsaicin. All right. Now, I'm in Texas. Everybody knows what capsaicin is down here. But explain for our listeners what it is again.
So capsaicin is a chemical found in chili peppers that makes them spicy. According to McGill, it activates a receptor found in your mouth and on your tongue called a TRPV1 receptor.
What is it that makes food spicy exactly? Is this all a function of the capsaicin?
Yeah, exactly. It activates receptors, which I believe are the same receptors that feel actual heat. So it gives you the sensation of heat. And the more capsaicin, the more heat. So a pepper with less capsaicin will be less spicy. But everyone's different. And people have speculated that people have different receptor levels. People can react differently. So I don't want to answer one of your future questions, but that could explain why some people experience more heat because they're more reactive, more or less, to capsaicin.
I guess you're right. If you're cutting peppers and you rub your eye.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, the police use capsaicin in pepper spray. So, and bear spray, I don't know where you're located, but we're not too far from the bear country. So that's what keeps them away is the capsaicin.
What's the best way to blunt the taste, the effect of something that's really spicy after you've eaten it? There's so many old wives' tales out there. You need to drink milk. You need to take a spoonful of sugar. I've heard, I've heard all kinds of things that make the spice go away. Does anything really work?
I believe that milk is the best method that people have. You see people with their milk on their side of the table when they're doing a spicy challenge. And I do believe that there's some reason for it. The capsaicin is surrounded by the casein protein of milk, and it kind of neutralizes it. I mean, not completely, but I'm a believer in it, actually. My daughter wanted to see, she's 16 now, she wanted to see how many habaneros she could put in her food. And she chose mac and cheese, and she was able to get 30 into her mac and cheese. I mean, there's no way she could have done that with anything else. I mean, the cheese blunted it, I have to say. So it didn't blunt it completely. Believe me, there was some pain, but it was not intolerable at all.
So we already know that you love spicy food, Mike. Tell our listeners about the spiciest food you've ever had.
Okay, so I'll start with this. I have a bottle of Jamaican jerk sauce in the fridge that could probably eat through a trailer hitch, and it's unbelievably hot. I mean, I just had to immediately rinse my mouth out. I don't know what kind of peppers they had in there. Ooh. The hottest food I've ever eaten, though, we were in Thailand, and there was a little cafe in southern Thailand, and I ordered this dish called shrimp and peppers. And I don't know what kind of peppers they were, but insanely hot, but also insanely good. So in spite of the pain, I licked the plate clean.
I had a similar experience in China where it was definitely kicking my butt, the spicy food I was eating, but I couldn't stop eating it. And I heard Thailand has even spicier food.
You heard right.
So, Mike, I see that you have a bag of Takoy chips there, and I grabbed some spicy stuff from my fridge. So why don't we have a little hot ones moment?
So this is a bag of Takoys. It was the hottest thing I could find in the vending machine at work. They're hot chili pepper and lime fuego Takoys. And I looked it up, actually. I found it online. This is about 100,000 Scoville units, which is pretty hot. That's hotter than a jalapeno. It's hotter than a serrano pepper. Not quite a habanero. And definitely nowhere near a ghost pepper, but hot enough at 100,000 so.
Let's see if it lives up to the Scoville claim.
Kind of a dark orange. See what we got here. No, it's not that bad.
Not that bad?
They're kind of like, it's like a flaming hot Cheeto. You ever had those?
Mm, I have. You know, okay. I've had Takoys before. I don't know about the Fuego, but they're kind of salty.
Okay, hang on. There's a little kick. It's building.
Okay.
Oh, wow. There it comes. Okay. Time for some Diet Coke.
I was wondering what you were going to wash it down with. Diet Coke.
It's all I have.
The champion's choice.
What do you have?
I love it. So I've got this Ox brand Mexican hot sauce, Mexican version of sriracha on a pretzel. I hope you can't hear me chewing because that's gross.
I can.
First take.
And it is. But go ahead.
I couldn't hear you chewing. Is that like a special setting?
Seriously, you couldn't hear this?
No.
Wow. Oh, God.
I'm sorry I made you eat another one. So mine wasn't that bad. I also have a sport pepper here from Superdog where I went the other day.
Oh, that's just like one of those peppers they put on salads in an Italian restaurant. That's nothing.
It's not Texas hot.
When you do get overheated, though, what is your go-to remedy? Because that's the other half of the equation. What do you do to cool off when it's too hot?
I did have this moment. So when I was a server, we had a saxophone player that would play in our restaurant, and he would always bring us Wingstop when he came to play. And one time he brought these atomic wings. That's the spiciest one they have there. And I was unprepared for this. I did not know which one that I grabbed. And then I got like customers as I was eating the chicken wing in the back. They're like, you got a table. So I was suffering. I was getting a little sweaty. My nose was running. I was kind of drooling.
So you were on the job at the time.
I was on the job, so I had to run in the back, and we didn't have any milk or cheese because it's a sushi restaurant, but we did have green tea ice cream, and it worked like a charm. I was like, thank God for this green tea ice cream because I didn't know how I was going to serve these people.
I'm going to write that down right now. That's Lauren's go-to is green tea ice cream. I'm going to keep that in mind.
Green tea ice cream.
All right, now that we've shared tips on mitigating the impact of spicy food, we need to get it off our fingers before we touch our eyes. Oh, you don't want to do that. Trust me.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, the thing is, when you do work with peppers and you don't use gloves, and I can never find gloves when I need them, you're going to have capsaicin on your fingers. Yep. And like you mentioned, you can touch your eyes and you're going to burn your eyes. But I found personally that washing with soap and water doesn't quite do it. So, I mean, I've been tempted to actually soak my hands in milk. I don't know if that's going to work, but I mean, I believe in it enough that I'm almost willing to do that sometimes. It just, soap and water doesn't seem to work. And I also heard that alcohol, like really as pure alcohol as you can get, whether it's vodka or rubbing, you know, alcohol may dissolve capsaicin from your fingers a little better, but that is not something you do when you're, you don't drink the alcohol. That's just to get it off your fingers. For blunting the effect of ingested capsaicin, I think milk is the way to go.
I find kind of the same thing when I chop garlic. and it, you know, I'll wash them once, twice, three times, and I can still smell that garlic on there. You know, there's some things, it's just really hard to make go away.
And capsaicin is one of them.
We talk about the dangers of spicy foods. Can they be beneficial?
Well, there's talk about the history of the cultural reverence for spicy food in some communities and the speculation. Of course, this is goes down before history, prehistorically, but the potential preservative effect of spicy food, it helps keep the microbes under control. That may have, you know, that and the you know, the warm climate where food has to sit out may have been beneficial for the population as a whole. When it comes to individuals, there is conflicting research. Think that the pendulum is kind of swinging toward, it's gone back and forth. You know, if you go back 20 years, there's speculation that people in these warm climates who eat a lot of spicy food are more likely to have stomach type of or gastrointestinal cancers. But now, you know, that we've sort of refined our study methods and have more data, I think the pendulum has swung back a little bit towards, if anything, on a population level, it may actually be beneficial.
When eating spicy foods, then, I guess the bottom line is it's kind of like that warning that they put in ads for liquor, alcohol, say, enjoy in moderation. Just don't go crazy.
Yeah, I would say that you have to listen to your body, because just because your best friend is, you know, can eat three Carolina Reapers doesn't mean you can. And some people tend to aspirate their food a little bit. If hot peppers go down the wrong pipe, your windpipe can close. And it did for me. So, I have reactive airway disease in general. But I, you know, it went far enough for me that I was starting to panic a little bit that I wasn't going to ever breathe again. So, yeah, you have to listen to your body and you have to be prepared for what you're doing. And you can't do it for the wrong reasons. Some people want to, I mean, this whole challenge thing is about impressing people. And I think that's ridiculous. You know, you want to impress people, win a Nobel Prize in medicine. Don't like put yourself at risk. It's probably not for the very elderly. They tend to aspirate their food more. It's not for the very young. It's not for children. I wouldn't recommend it for anyone who's not adult. And moreover than that, an informed, knowledgeable, reasonable adult. I don't recommend it for anybody.
It just seems like there's a new mind-boggling challenge like this on social media every day.
From a foodie perspective, from a culinary perspective, it's disrespectful to the beauty of peppers and spicy ones included. They actually add, if you use them to get pleasure, if you use them to enhance your food, not to impress anyone, I'm a big fan of them. I think they add unique flavors and a little bit of heat, yes, but it really enhances, for me, it really enhances my enjoyment of food. And I think most people want to achieve that. And that's something you do for yourself. It's not something you do to impress. But that's what happens with these challenges is that they, first of all, they're not particularly good, taste good. And you end up ignoring all the beauty of the peppers that way.
I'm Mike Rogers, and thanks so much for listening to Something Offbeat. This episode's written and produced by Lauren Berry and Chris Blake, with audio editing by Chris Blake and original music by Myron Kaplan. And keep listening. Please subscribe to us on the Odyssey app or Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts. And if you have your own offbeat story you think we should cover, we'd love to know about it. So send it to us at somethingoffbeat@Odyssey. That's AUDACY.com. Now I'm off to find some green tea ice cream.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.